It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. College students don't effectively prioritize sleep. Actually, says our next guest, they don't prioritize sleep much at all. And schools don't really help. The 24-hour libraries encourage cramming, not sleeping. But Roxanne Pritchard says that if you are nervous for tomorrow's test, the best thing you can do is sleep. Pritchard is a professor of neuroscience and psychology and scientific director of the Center for College Sleep at the University of St. Thomas. Welcome, Roxanne.
Thank you for having me.
Why should we pay? You know, I listed when I did our intro a few minutes ago all the things that we tell college students. We tell them to not drink too much. We tell them to not drink and drive, not text and drive. Make sure that you're studying. You're not partying too much. I mean, these are all very, very, very important things. But sleep, you say sleep is just as important and can impair you just as much as those other things.
Absolutely, and that's what our research shows. More and more, we're having a better understanding of what the purpose of sleep is for the brain and how much sleep promotes good brain health and brain restoration and learning. So we're seeing that for many teens and young adults, they're walking around in a crisis state of sleep deprivation that's impacting many, many aspects of their mental health and their performance.
And so what should we be paying attention to? How much sleep should college students be getting?
That is a good question. So when we're talking with students about sleep, we try to get across that there's three main aspects to sleep to pay attention to. Well, number one is the quantity. And a lot of people don't realize that teens still need at least 8 to 10 hours of sleep, including young adults. Mm. And most people haven't gotten that since elementary school, frankly. So students are kind of walking around numb or accustomed to the effects of sleep deprivation and don't know what it feels like to get good sleep. So good sleep, when you get enough sleep, you wake up naturally. You don't need an alarm clock to wake up. Mm. And for most young adults, it's going to be 8, 9, even 10 hours of sleep. Oh, I was going to say the second thing we want to think about is just the consistency and the importance of having the same schedule on weekdays and weekends. And if you're going to bed at, say, 2 a.m. on the weekends but 11 p.m. on the weekdays, that's the equivalent of flying to New York to San Francisco every weekend in terms of its jet lag. So we also talk about the importance of having a consistent sleep schedule.
So I'm going to assume that college students don't schedule 7 a.m. classes, but some of them do, and some of them have practices and things like that. Some of them are doing things even earlier than that. How do you their regular sleep rhythms may not conform to waking up at 5 a.m. without an alarm clock. What do you tell them?
Right. So we tell them to pay attention to what their body is. So some people find it easier to wake up in the morning people. Some people are definitely evening people. And seeing what they can do to schedule classes later in the day if they are evening people. We also are working with universities to make sure that students who have sleep disorders, including delayed phase sleep disorder, are registered through disability services so they get something like priority registration so they can make sure that there's a spot for them in later classes. So unfortunately, it's often the freshmen who have the worst sleep of all who get stuck with the earliest classes because those are the only classes left to sign up in.
That makes sense. A lot of college students will get, as you know, 4 to 6 hours sleep, whatever they can get during the week, and then they will sleep like 12, 13 hours during the weekend. Is that good?
No, that's not good. I mean,
you can't catch up on sleep.
Okay, but you can't really catch up on sleep. You can maybe make up 40% of the sleep you're missing. But the problem with that is if you sleep till noon or two on the weekends, that makes it hard to fall asleep at a reasonable time Sunday night, and that makes Monday morning really rough. So what we do is we kind of work and think about how we can maximize the weekday sleep so you don't have that big crash on the weekends. And sometimes that involves talking with coaches, seeing if you really need that 5:30 a.m. swim workout, or could you kind of change the schedule around?
That is true. So if you can't catch up, and if you have to do the 5:30 a.m., you just have to go to sleep early. I mean, that's kind of it's the burning the candle at both ends issue here, right?
Right. Although biologically, a lot of teens have shifted, so it's physically impossible for those to go to bed early. So a night person who is used to going to bed at 1 a.m., if you ask that person to try to go to bed at 10, will just be sitting, lying down, not being able to fall asleep. So it takes your body about a day to shift 1 hour from your regular schedule. So there's a limit to how much kind of finagling you could do with your schedule.
So it strikes me that what you're saying is that society has to accommodate the sleep habits and patterns of college-age kids, not college kids, accommodating what they need to do to get their stuff done.
I say both and, right? So one of the things we do at the Center for College Sleep is we provide a toolkit called College Sleep Environmental Scan that can help universities look at their programming and policies and structures to think about what changes they can make to improve the environment, to make it a healthy sleep environment. So nowadays, a lot of the homework is due online, and if professors click just end of the day, that means midnight. So that would kind of be a factor that universities could change. Right now, if something's due at midnight, that means you start your other homework after that one's due, right?
Right.
So this is just one of the small policy changes that universities could make to help the sleep environment. Meanwhile, students can work on sort of valuing and prioritizing sleep, and a lot of that is going to be changing relationship with electronics.
Which keeps us up at night, which...
Oh, absolutely.
It's better to have a light on and read than it is read a physical book in your hands than to read an electronic book.
It depends on the color temperature of the light. So, blue wavelength light can what it does is suppresses your melatonin, so it makes it harder. That's a hormone that tells your body it's nighttime. It makes it harder to fall asleep if you have that blue light, whether it's from a light bulb or from an e-reader. So if you have sort of filters on your electronic devices like Night Shift on the iPhones, that can sort of diminish the effects of that stimulation. But often it's not necessarily a book. It could be more like video game or texting or something that is engaging people. And part of that is just the excitement, the cognitive arousal. From the game like Fortnite or something is going to last and make it harder for the brain to wind down and fall asleep.
So college students, there are a number of factors that they have to consider. We have about a minute left. There is the studying part, there's the sleeping part, and then there's the engaging with friends part. And the engaging with friends is the thing that kind of backs people up. Suddenly it's 9 o'clock at night and they have to study and they're up for another 3 or 4 hours.
Right. And you know, college is a really exciting time when you want to start forming relationships and exploring who you are. So it's hard to ask people to give that up. And what we do at the Center for College Sleep is ask universities to think about what kind of programming can we do on Saturday morning and Sunday morning that provides you social opportunities too. They're not always late at 2 a.m.
We have been talking about the importance of sleep with Roxanne Pritchard. She is a professor of neuroscience and psychology and scientific director of the Center for College Sleep at the University of St. Thomas. Roxanne, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Coming up next, we'll talk about how teens can protect themselves from dating violence. I'm Carrie Kaufman, and it's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.